السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون. إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مكمحون. وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. The word translation of this ayat: the word has indeed come true about most of them, so they will not believe. Surely we have placed iron collars on their necks so that they are reaching up to their chins and their heads are forced to remain upraised. And we have placed a barrier in front of them and a barrier behind them, and thus they are encircled by us so they do not see. And it is all equal for them, whether you warn them or do not warn them, they will not believe. You can usefully warn only the one who follows the advice and fears the Rahman, the most merciful, unseen. So give him the good news of forgiveness and of a noble reward. Surely we will give new life to the dead, and we are recording whatever deeds they send ahead and whatever effects they leave behind. And everything is fully computed by us in manifest source of book. So this was the wordy translation. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning and informing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the condition of the kuffar of the Makkah, the idol worshippers and rebellious people of Makkah, because the Holy Quran was revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so first addressed the people to whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning was the people of Makkah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْسَرِهِمْ, that it is evident, it is proven, it is written in their fate that verily that most of them will not bring iman and they will not accept Islam. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made from the beginning two paths. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, وَهَدَيْنَاهُنْ نَجْدَيْنَ, that we have shown them two paths. One is the right one and other one is the wrong one. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hereafter has created only two places. One is Jannah, paradise, and other is hell, fire, Jahannam. So those who follow the right path, their destination will be Jannah. But those who deviate, reject, rebel, and go astray, they will end up into the hell fire. And that was exactly the challenge of the shaitan and devil. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah ta'ala sent la'natin, curse upon him, because he did not bow down and make sujood of ta'zim to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And he show his arrogance, his logic, ana khayru minhu khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. That I'm better than Adam because you created Adam with the sand and you created me with the fire, and fire is better than sand. That was his logic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse upon them that you must get out from here, and he sent down onto the earth. So he challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that, oh Allah, I'm going to sit down on the right path and I will interfere with the Bani Adam, with the children of Adam, and I will misguide them, and you will find most of them will be with me. I'm not going to go to the hell alone. I will take most of the progeny of Adam with me. And that was his challenge. And that's why he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, extend my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given him permission, ila yawmi ba'asun, that you will have the life, longest life, that you will be survive until the last day, until the yawmul qiyamah. So since, imagine time of Adam alayhi salam passed away, all the prophets passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, but Shaitan Mardud is still there. He's still sitting on the right path and still is misguiding and attracting the people and diverting their attention and their faith and their aqidah towards the Jahannam, towards other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all his progeny. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِّيُّ وَسَعِيدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the whole Quran, هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ. This Quran is guidance, this Quran is nur, this Quran is the maw'izah, you know, for those who believe in it. But those who do not believe it, obviously, they are going to go to the other way. They are going to end up into the hellfire. You know, so فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَمِنْهُمْ سَعِيدٌ. That one group of the people will be righteous, and other group of the people will be, you know, unfortunate, and they will end into the hellfire. You see? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you don't get, you know, sad-hearted, or, you know, you should not feel bad about them, because the haq is already, you know, evident for them, that most of them will not embrace Islam. And you will find, after all, you know, like more than 13 years of the tabligh of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since his proclaim at the age of 40 till he stay with them till the age of 53, all this, you know, 13 years of Meccan life was full of trial and tribulation and hardship and calamities and problems. So most of the kuffar did not accept. There were only a handful, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who embraced Islam on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they migrated to Madinah Munawwara. So there were more than like hundred Sahaba radiallahu anhum, with all the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of 13 years. And that's why in the second year after Hijrah, if you ponder, when the Battle of Badr took place, and that was the first battle between Islam and Kuffar, between the believers and non-believers, between the Haq and Batil, between the truthfulness and the Kuffar. So darkness and the Nur. In that battle, how many Sahaba took place? There were total Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many were there? Only 313. So some of them were from Ansar, obviously, maybe 100, I don't know exact amount, but you can guess between Makkan Sahaba radiallahu alayhi majma'in and the Madina Munawwara Sahaba radiallahu alayhi majma'in, all together combined, they were in second year after Hijrah, meaning 15 years of the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 13 years in Makkah and 2 years in Madina Munawwara, total amount of the Muslims, believers, followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba and companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were only 313 in the second year in Battle of Badr. So you can imagine how few people were lucky and fortunate who were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept guidance and hidayah in his own hands. Even the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his duty, his job only to invite. Fadakkir fa innaka anta muzakkir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't break your heart. Don't feel bad if anyone is not embracing Islam. Your job, your duty is only to warn them, to give them glad tidings. If they accept Islam, give them glad tidings. And if they reject Islam, then just warn them. The day will come, they all have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of the rejection, because of the rebelliousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to throw them into the hellfire. That's all your job is, to warn them. فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew through his infinite knowledge that most of the kuffar, most of the people of Makkah will not embrace Islam. And that only happened after Fathul Makkah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted victory to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 9 year after Hijrah. Then Fathul Makkah, the conquered of Makkah took place. At that time, whole of Makkah, the whole population of Makkah embraced Islam, including Hinda, including Abu Sufyan and Ikramah, who was the son of Abu Jahl. They all embraced Islam, but that happened only 9 years after Hijrah, like 50 years of the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a total victory upon all the people of Makkah. And that's why the surah was revealed, which is the last surah of the Holy Quran, is the whole surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. That now your task, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is done. Your effort is ended now. Now the people are embracing Islam, coming in the fold of Islam, with the groups and groups. Afwaja, groups and groups. Now your job is done. Now you make istighfar and you must prepare to come back to me. This is time for your death. That's why when Itaja Rasulullah was revealed, Sahaba were very happy. They said, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up the door of Hidayat, and there are hundreds and thousands of people are embracing Islam. So they were very happy with this. But only Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was crying. So Sahaba said, this is the news. It's a good news. Why are you crying? He said, no, there is the hidden message. Between the line, this is the hidden message. And message is this, that very soon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be depart from us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this message in this surah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your task is done. When a person is appointed to finish some work, and if he finish that work, then what? He has to quit from there. He has to depart from that place. Right? So that was the understanding, deep understanding and farsightness of the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Immediately he started crying. That now it looks like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's job is done and is not going to be with us anymore. He will depart from us very soon. And it exactly happened after a few months, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this dunya. Anyway, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna ja'alna fi a'naqim aghlala. We have put the corals on their necks. Fahiya ila al-asqani, and the corals come to the chin. Fahum mukmahoon, so they cannot look down. They can only look up. One of the examples I want to explain here, that there are two kinds of blindness. One is physically person cannot see by himself. He is in such a position that he cannot even look at to his own body. That is when a person has some neck problem. We physically also, we see some people have a coral belt here. When they put the coral belt here, then the belt is such they cannot look down. They cannot even look to their own body. They cannot look their chest and stomach and all down. They can only see up. So that is the one situation. That person cannot able to see his own body. And second kind of blindness, a person can see by himself his body, but he cannot see surrounding area. What is surrounding him, he is not able to see. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in second ayah. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا, that we have made a barrier in front of them. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ And we made barrier behind them. We made one wall in front of them and we made another wall behind them for أَغْشَيْنَهُمْ And we made the, you know, curtains on their eyes from life shirun. So no matter how many evidence and proofs of your risalat and prophethood and how many proofs of my tawheed and oneness you can give it to them, they won't be able to see it with the eyes of basarat, with the eyes of nur. They are totally blind. Their heart is dark. And that's why your advice is admonishing and your good work is not going to help them. They will not be able to understand. And this is the close meaning of what in Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, khatam Allah ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala absarihim ghishawa. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a seal on their on their hearts and on their eyes, you know, ala sam'ihim on their ear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the curtain on their eyes. So when a person is surrounded, when a person is in, you know, consigned in one room, like, you know, those criminals, you know, who have murdered someone, the killers and murderers. In the prison, there are special, you know, rooms for them. And they are totally self-consigned. You know, 3x6, whatever size it can be the room. And there is no window. There is no door. There is, you know, there is, it's very hard for them. Only four walls and roof. So they are alone and isolated from the people because they are very dangerous for others. So that's why they keep them separate and isolated. So likewise, this kuffar and mushrikeen, who already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know through his knowledge that they are not going to accept Islam. Anyway, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, you know, Abu Talib, Walid bin Mughira, all these leaders of Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that they are not going to accept Islam. So they were surrounded by the walls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they are not able to see the truth. Just by the way, this is what I heard from our Akabirin. If a person, if we are going through on the airport and custom and immigration, it is said, if you read this ayat, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ And blow onto that custom officer or immigration officer, he will not be able to check your bag or your luggage. And inshallah, whatever inside, Allah will make him blind and he will let you go. So this is one of the ayat, all my explain when you go to the airport. And if you see anywhere, if you are surrounded by enemies or someone is threatening you or someone is going to attack on yourself or on your luggage, just read this ayat. Keep on reading this ayat. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ And try to blow on him or her. So inshallah, through this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Same message again, that it is equal whether you warn them or you don't want them. They are not going to believe anyway. You know, anyway, they are not going to believe you. This is what happened. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and Walid ibn Mughira, Utbah, these people were very staunch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come, Haram Sharif, and used to pray long, long salat in front of Kaabatullah, so they used to come in trouble. They did not like, excuse me, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must, you know, make sujood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it comes in one of the riwayat, in Mufassirin is mentioned, that one day Abu Jahl came with the big boulder, with big stone, he's carried from outside. And his intention was, as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go into sajda, I'm going to throw this big stone and boulder on his head, so he will no more be. So as with this bad intention, he came close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unaware of it. He was making sujood, his head was down the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such that boulder, that big stone was stuck on the on the shoulder and neck of Abu Jahl, and his hands were stuck with the boulder. He couldn't move from there. As he went forward, and this is what happened, he just got stuck. Everything was stuck. So he was very scared. So what happened to me? How? Why can I not move? You know, there is no movement. And this boulder was on his neck. So he immediately back off from there. The moment he back off from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his hand was free and his boulder was done. So he was very scared. So the people were sitting and watching, you know, the kuffar, they started laughing and mocking on him. That, oh, Abu Jahl, you are boasting that you are very strong, you're going to harm Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at you, you came back, you couldn't harm him anyway. So then Abu Lahab went forward. He said, let me take chance. As he went there, Walid ibn Mughira, so he became blind. He couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he became blind, he was very scared. He also came back immediately. And when he came back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted his eyesight again. While he was close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, approaching to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala made him blind there and there. He couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So third person, so people started laughing upon and mocking on him too. Third person went, okay, let me try now. I am more stronger than you people. You couldn't do anything. I will do it. As he went forward to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah is still making sujood, and he is in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is making sajda there. So this third person goes close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was screaming, and screaming, he came back and he fell down unconscious. So when he gained consciousness, so people were amazed. They were just wondering what happened to this person. So they asked him, what happened? You went to harm Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened to you? He said, as I came near by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw very strange and very dangerous animal was sitting there, and his mouth was, open, and it was like telling me, he was attacking on me, approaching towards me, and he said, like, I'm going to eat you up raw. I'm just going to attack on you. I'm going to eat you up. So that's why I fell unconscious. I was so scared. I haven't seen that kind of animal before. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning days of his risalat, when the enemies used to harm him and they would try to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always used to protect him in unseen way. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no matter how much you try to them, they are not going to embrace Islam. They are not going to believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, innama tunziru man ittaba'a dhikra. Verily, you only warn those people who follow this zikr. Zikr means Quran Majid. Those who already brought iman, those who believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeing him, and iman bil ghaib. This is what the requirement is. We have to believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without looking at him, unseen. So this Quran will be beneficial and guidance for those who follow it. Man ittaba'a dhikra wa khashiya ar-rahman, and they fear ar-rahman, who is most merciful. They don't do any bad action. They don't violate any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't transgress any hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They always have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. Bil ghaib, without looking, without seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is called iman. Because when a person is seeing something, then the iman is not accepted. That's why it is said, iman will be only accepted ma'alam yugharghar. Meaning, when the sakrat starts, when the agony of death starts, person, at that time, he can see the angels. He can see the next world. So at that time, if someone wants to recite kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that time of recitation, that time of acceptance of Islam or kalima tayyiba is not accepted by Allah. Because already he can see unseen things. the things of the different world, the next world. And that is why when Fir'aun, you know, was drowning, he already proclaimed it. Amantu bi Rabbi Musa. Amantu bi Rabbi Musa wa Harun. That I embrace Islam, I bring Iman unto the Lord of Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam and Bani Israel. But Allah Ta'ala replied to him, Al-An, now you accepting Iman, it's too late for you. And it comes in one riwayat that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was throwing and, you know, sand in his mouth, so he could not recite Kalmat-e-Iman because that was the last moment. He was already drowning. And how many years these two paygambar, these two messengers, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, the elder brother of Musa alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, both together were explaining him, convincing him, showing him so many miracles and inviting him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was rejecting and saying, Ana rabbukum al-ala, I am the greatest Lord. I don't need to bow down in front of any Lord. I am the Lord. And you people must obey me. You people must make my ibadah, worship me. I am taking care of your foods and necessities. I am your Lord. And Rabbukum al-A'la. That was his claim. So once he was drowning, he was close to the death, he realized his eyes were open. And there, he want to recite this kalima tayyiba and he want to bring iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, too late. It is not acceptable. So this is what, at the last moment of Iman is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person is accepting Iman before that, and his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبَشِّرُهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. So you must give glad tidings to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him forgiveness, مَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ, and very great and respectful ajr in hereafter. And what is that ajr kareem? Is Jannat al-Firdaus. So Allah will forgive all his minors and major sins because he brought Iman and he followed the Quran and Majid and teaching of Islam and teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah will forgive all his major and minor sins and Allah will grant him Jannah وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Verily, we are going to bring back in the life the dead people. وَنَكْتُهُمْ أَقَدَّمُوا أَسَارَهُمْ. And we are writing down whatever people are making amal and actions and deeds. وَأَسَارَهُمْ, and their footsteps as well. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And everything has been preserved and protected in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue from here tomorrow. And I will explain more about athar and in the footstep, etc. May Allah give us tawfiq to practice upon it. Before we conclude, brothers and sisters, the time is passing through very fast. So inshallah, from tomorrow, the Isha Salat will change.